Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. It's 7 o'clock. It's a Tuesday. That means it's Brad Biggs time. We'll get all the Bears and NFL information to you through Brad in just a moment. The Bulls were down 21 at the half, and it didn't get better as they fell to the Pacers last night, 109-77. DeRozan, 18. Zach LaVine, 17. Bulls shooting just 36% from the field. The Bulls are at the Rockets Wednesday night. You can hear it right here on The Score, 6:45 with Chuck Swirsky's pregame show. Blackhawks are at the Flames tonight. College hoops, number 14, Illinois, lost to Cincinnati 71-51. And fresh off his appearance on The Score, Amon Shumpert won Dancing with the Stars. The first place Chicago Wolves play the Rockford IceHogs this Saturday. Allstate Arena, the place to be. Affordable tickets are available. Check out Winning Hockey with the entire family. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We are the Wolves.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Yeah, I guess the Bulls game broke out in a fire naggy. We heard the fire naggy at the Bears game, but I don't know. There's something about that happening at a high school game. It was Lake Forest against Cary Grove, and the guy's out watching his kid play, and now you hear that. It's too much for me to have it happen at a high school game, but I don't know, Brad. It just seems like we're hitting a very dark period here.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got some people out there that they'll extract some sort of pleasure from when people lose their job, and we'll automatically expect that whatever the next move is going to cure everything, but that's the way the world is these days. That's unfortunate, and it's also unfortunate the Bears are stuck in a 5-game losing streak preparing for a Detroit Lions team that these teams are nearly identical. You look at where the Lions rank in points per game, 30th. The Bears are 29th. Total offense. The Lions are 27th. The Bears are 31st. Rushing offense, the Lions are 16th. The Bears are 6th. Passing offense, the Detroit Lions are 30th. The Bears are 32nd. Third down, 31st and 29th. Red zone, 30th and 27th. These are like mirror images of each other. It's perfect. They're getting together on the holiday.
Brad, what did you make of the report from Jordan Schultz, who does a podcast with Allen Robinson and is a media guy who is not around the Bears regularly, but reported yesterday that, quote, an overwhelming number of Bears players want Matt Nagy gone.
Well, I think probably an overwhelming number of Bears players, any that aren't rookies or have an idea how the league works, realize he's on his way to being gone, right? I don't know. I don't put a ton into that. I think everybody up there is frustrated, and if they're not deeply frustrated by what's going on, they're just showing up to cash a paycheck. So I'm not going to doubt that report, but I don't. When Hollis Hall was open to the media, I never saw that guy at Hollis Hall. So I'm not surprised everyone is frustrated, and we'll have to see what happens Thursday and in the weeks ahead. But they've got deeply rooted problems here. I'm fully convinced that just making a change there isn't going to solve everything that's sort of bogging the organization down.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think that, I understand what's happening here, but you still try to win a football game. You still try to get your team up to go out, regardless of what the circumstances are with your season. It is professional sports, and this is an opportunity to win a football game. So I would be surprised if we don't see the Bears line up and attempt to win the game. If the Lions have outplayed a lot of teams now, Brad. I mean, they play hard, but they can't win. And if you lose to these guys, that's going to leave a real serious mark. It has nothing to do with getting fired. I'm talking about the pride. I'm talking about players and their futures. You win in the NFL, period.
Yeah, I mean, if the Bears lose this one, they might want to leave a Greyhound ticket for Matt Nagy at that point, right? If they lose, this game, I mean, the Lions are guys. They've scored 20 points once this season. That was in the opener when they scored a bunch at the end. They were getting completely blown out by the 49ers. They wound up losing that game 41-33. Four of the last five games, they haven't topped 17 points. Now, no one should have a lot of confidence the Bears are going to get to that figure. They're showing that they struggle in that regard. But, yeah, I mean, you've got professional athletes putting on equipment to go out and play a game. There is going to be a battle. There is going to be a fight. And, the Bears can change the discussion for a week anyway if they can get on the right side of one of these things. And the Lions are – I mean – the Lions are terrible. I know they play hard, but people talked about them maybe being able to spring one on the Eagles a couple weeks back. You know, the Eagles had kind of been up and down, maybe more down, and Philly came into Ford Field and just kicked the crap out of them. It was 44-6.
Brad, we've all been through these kind of things before, and I think it's interesting because you're out there regularly every day, and your place on this beat and the respect that you command on this beat, I'm curious to just get your overall philosophy and approach here as it pertains to, situations like what the Bears are facing with Matt Nagy, with Ryan Pace. You've got guys out there who are going to be clamoring to be first to report this or clamoring to be the first guy to call for a firing here or there. What is your overall approach when you're dealing with something this kind of inevitable and yet this controversial, and you know it's very sensitive as well?
Yeah, I think it's earlier in the year you got to let listeners or readers sort of choose their own path. You just kind of lay it out there for them in terms of, hey, this is what's happened, and this looks like the direction that the team is headed, right? I don't, because too often the people who want to clamor for big change, they go prematurely, and then they end up you know, you have to take a look at him and say, hey, flip, meet flop. You know, it's got to be nice to be able to play both sides of the fence. So I just I think you need to let the thing play out. I think what you have to understand is the history of the organization, an organization that has never previously fired a coach in season. I'm not saying that won't happen. There's a first time for everything, right? But I think when people were speculating heavily about that very early in the season, the disaster in Cleveland, et cetera, they really weren't paying attention to the franchise and the history of how they do business. So there's a human side to this too. You know, I don't think anybody takes joy. Anybody with a heart doesn't take joy in seeing people lose their livelihood. You just gotta let this play out. You gotta try to say, okay, if this hasn't worked, why didn't it work? And what changes could be or should be considered the next time around? Because they're kind of spinning their wheels right now. And the people out there that suggest this is, you know, rock bottom of futility for the Bears, I don't know if they were asleep during the end of that John Fox era or perhaps out of the country during the last half of the Mark Trestman final season. You know, this isn't anything out of the ordinary when you stack it up against the previous two coaches.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Look, I think we have to draw a line here, and I don't want to see a coach have those chances occur during his son's playoff football game. I think you got to be better than that.
I mean, that should be on the administration to do something about that. I mean, everybody knows where the guy's kids go to school, certainly that's playing high school football. I mean, that's just classless. The administration should be able to step in and do something about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wrong on every level. You want to yell at a Bears game, you want to yell at a Bulls game. Do anything you want, say whatever you want. You paid for a ticket, but please just be classier than that. That is just awful stuff.
How about be more creative than that too?
Well, there you go. Yeah, and you know, Brad, I think that's the thing. You know, Matt Nagy, this was like the job of a lifetime, and he came in here with high hopes. They had a great year. I understand what's happened and how it's unfolded, but this isn't Ryan Pace 7 years hiding in an upstairs office and apparently like whispering sweet nothings to all of the upper administration. I mean, he's the guy. You want to start chanting things, start looking at roster construction. You know, you got to wonder how you play in the NFL without cornerbacks. And I just think that there are other targets here. This is people going for the easy target, and that's great. And you know, I'm sure he hasn't done enough to keep his job, and that will catch up to him. But good God, it's been 7 years of roster construction, of traded picks, of overselling, oversigning, all sorts of free agents. Look at everything that's going on, and nobody at Halas Hall is above any kind of criticism, and don't let people throw you a bone and think that, you know, if you make one change, you're going to change anything in the actual way this team is run. It disappoints me that there isn't more ambition among the fans.
Yeah, I think one thing that you have to really keep a close eye on here and consider when you think about them rebooting this program at the end of the season is, depending on what they do with some of these guys that have big contracts and that are a little bit older, by the time the dust settles and before they get to adding players to the roster, that's going to be the real issue here. They're going to be down to maybe 30 or so guys under contract moving ahead to 2022. And that doesn't include the, you know, reserve futures guys that are signed at the end of the season. So the cap space that they're going to have, that they're going to be able to create, that's great, but you're going to have a ton of holes to fill on that roster, some real key spots. And if you talk about going out and buying a number one wide receiver, if you need to address a cornerback position with the starter, if you need offensive line help, that cap space you have is going to be whittled down pretty quickly. And you've got to hit. You've got to hit when you go out into the free agent market. And as we know, I mean, there's a swing and miss ratio with that, just as there is with the NFL draft, where the Bears are going to be short on picks this coming spring. If Justin Fields is a player, they're going to be able to kind of patch this together, and he's going to raise the level of the players around him, and things will get very interesting. But they've got a lot of heavy lifting to do ahead of them, and I don't see this as a quick reboot if they make changes in leadership.
Brad, Tim Boyle versus Andy Dalton sounds like an early invitation for a Thanksgiving nap. But what are the chances that Jared Goff is in play for the Lions? Do we know more about the quarterback situation?
Yeah, so Jared Goff missed last week's game with an oblique injury. He was limited in the guesstimated injury report after the imaginary practice that the Lions held yesterday over in Allen Park. So I'd say Goff has a chance to play on Thursday. Maybe we get a little bit more information later today. You know, I thought with Boyle at the controls, they'd probably go to Cleveland to get blown out there, but that Browns team's got some issues facing it, and the Lions did compete hard. I know the Lions are hopeful that Goff will be able to return for this game.
Great stuff as always, Bigsy. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. We're going to bring in Coach Wanstead next. We will continue the conversation with Dave. I beg your pardon?
Casey Johnson.
Oh, Casey. I'm sorry.
Dave. Dave is 740. And
I'm
Casey
reading
talking
this wrong,
Bulls next.
Ray. I beg your pardon. KC is first. I beg your pardon. We'll get to the basketball man of NBC Sports Chicago. We'll talk to Casey Johnson about the Bulls. That's a very – even with the result last night, I find that a happier subject, David.
Definitely.
Let's take a quick time out. We'll come back with KC. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! They're not doing like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mully at Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Always a joy to talk to our friend KC Johnson, especially when the Bulls are winning. They didn't win last night, KC, but what a joy to get a chance to catch up with you. And KC joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, KC.
Good morning, guys. What's going on?
You know, I guess I was expecting more from Marco Simonovic. No, that's not where we start. That's an attrition of schedule game, isn't it? I mean, don't you look at that? The second of a back-to-back and all the injury. It just seemed like there was no energy at all. And the Pacers, you know, played a good game and the Bulls weren't ready.
Well, several things on that. Because what you say is true, Mully. But what I like is that both Billy Donovan and Zach LaVine refused to use that as an excuse. And that's the standard to which the Bulls should hold themselves. If you want to be a great team, if you want to be, you know, where they want to be, you gotta somehow find the energy and muster it up on nights like last night. Now, yes, it was a tough scheduled game. Yes, the loss of Caruso on top of Vucevic being out hurt. But look, the Bulls just won three games against teams in the exact situation the Bulls were in last night. They beat the Clippers, Nuggets, and Knicks. When those teams were finishing a back-to-back on a night that the Bulls rested the night before. So, you know, I didn't hear anybody complaining about the schedule then. So, you know, that's the thing. there are tough schedule games in the NBA. And what Billy Donovan talked about is that should not preclude us from playing to the standard to which we want to play. And that's, to me, absolutely the right messaging after a stinker last night. And then the last thing I'll say is, you know, I said before the game, that's just a bad matchup. I mean, especially without Vucevic. I mean, the Pacers' front line is no joke. That's got, you know, Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis are very physical, skilled players. So even at full strength, I think that's going to be a tough matchup for the Bulls the other three times those teams play.
KC, on the 3-2 road trip out west, what did the Bulls prove to you, or what was the biggest takeaway from those five games they played without Vooch?
You know, we've paid so much attention to the small ball, and it's funny because, you know, I'm saying the big picture piece about the 3-2 trip on a night where small ball had no chance against the Pacers, but you know, just the stylistically, the way they played those games with Caruso and Ball, you know, guarding the players of the caliber that they did, to the success that they did, along with Derek Jones Jr., you know, taking those backup 5 minutes and really making a contribution. That would probably be one of the biggest takeaways I had, because it just seems like it's a style of play that is relentless and, you know, can keep coming at you, at least in the regular season. I've said all along, I think the Bulls are going to have a very good regular season. You know, assuming they get to the playoffs and they're healthy, I think they can be a tough out. But I just always personally, as a traditionalist, I like size. And the Bulls just don't have a lot of it. I mean, Tony Bradley has played pretty well in Vooch's absence, and he is a solid, you know, reserve center. And obviously getting Vooch back will be huge for this team. But I still just don't see enough size up and down the roster. I mean, they have a big backcourt. I mean, Ball and Caruso are proving that because of how physical they are and how big they can be, you know, guarding in small doses certain matchups. But I don't know, man. We'll see how it plays out. But that was the biggest takeaway for me, just how they were able to utilize small ball to the success that they did.
You know, I thought that was a really interesting trip, because obviously there was a lot of attention nationally given to DeMar DeRozan, his return to L.A. And talking about his dad. It was, you know, it was obviously picked up all over the place, and everybody is sort of giving him more of a look somehow. I mean, is he one of the more underrated players that we've seen in the NBA? How is it that he's flown under the radar? Is it Toronto and a team game in San Antonio? What do you think is the reason that he hasn't kind of received that sort of attention up till now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a four-time All-Star, four-time All-NBA player. I mean, when he was, you know, in those prime years with the Raptors, he and Kyle Lowry were. You know, maybe not nationally had the same pop as some players, but, you know, everyone around the league knew how good he was. And
right.
I do think the years in San Antonio might have muted that a little bit, but he still played at a very high level. And, you know, his game changed a little bit stylistically there, because Popovich, you know, utilized him in a role where he was playmaking a little bit more. And so his efficiency grew. His scoring went down a bit, but his efficiency grew. I agree with you. You know, that trip home to L.A. was, you know, he put up huge numbers in both games, and it was a nice storyline. And so I just think nationally the Bulls are kind of being celebrated just because they've been so far in the wasteland in recent seasons. So it's kind of a nice confluence of events. But look, he's playing at MVP level, but those years in Toronto, I mean, he and Kyle Lowry were, you know, pretty well known. And I've talked to DeMar about this. I mean, that's a unique fan base in Toronto. It's because you're off, not only, you know, the face of a franchise, but in some ways you're the face of a country's love for basketball, because it's the lone, you know, professional team now that the Grizzlies have been long gone. So, you know, up in Toronto, he's always going to be beloved. And, yeah, he's certainly played at a level that's commanding national attention here this year.
Casey, Coby White back in the starting lineup last night because Caruso was out. He was off the bench on Sunday, more effective. last night just shot 2 of 10. How do you see him evolving in terms of a role, and where is his game at right now after the long layoff?
You know, guys, what I noticed last night is a lot of his shots are short, and I don't know if that's a matter of, you know, just getting his legs under him and game conditioning or what, but he had a lot of looks last night where when it came off his hand, those are shots you're used to seeing him make, and they were all front rim. He had a couple floaters where he got into the lane and he left them short. There's one he actually kind of clapped his hands in frustration afterwards. So disappointing last night because I thought he had built really nice momentum in the Knicks victory, hit those big three threes in the fourth. And Billy acknowledged post-game that, you know, the big reason why he started him was just to kind of give him a chance to build on that and establish some confidence, you know, because obviously Javonte Green had started at four before Caruso had moved into the lineup. So I was a little mildly surprised he didn't go to Javonte and keep Kobe in that off-the-bench role. But Billy did it specifically to get him going and get him some confidence. And unfortunately, Kobe didn't take advantage of it. I personally, you know, see the importance of his role because what Billy does, as you guys know, is he staggers one of Levine or DeRozan with that second unit. If Kobe gets going with that second unit, this offense has a ton of potential to grow. And obviously Kobe has proven that he can heat up in a hurry. He's done it many times in the past, but to this point, he's really only had the one game, the Knicks game. And, you know, expectations were probably pretty low for a reason because he hadn't played live basketball in so long. And also he hadn't played with really any of these guys, but Zach LaVine. Previously, so it's going to take a little bit, but just in terms of shot making, you'd like to see him get a little bit more consistent because that's kind of the role that the Bulls need him to play.
Well, you know, and I hate to say this, but if they're going to trade for a big, he would probably be the most likely trade candidate, so he needs to get better so that he has a better market value. Is that a horrible way of looking at it?
No, and I get that a lot. I get that question a lot. Yeah. I get that sentiment a lot. You know, I don't have I've never really gotten a sense privately how management feels about Kobe. I can tell you that Billy Donovan loves him and, you know, publicly has always touted his ability to handle in-game adversity and to not point fingers anywhere but inward and want to improve and want to work. And look, I get it, man. People say, oh, the Bulls need another big, the Bulls need another big. You know, I also think they need bench scoring, and he, right, to me, is their most accomplished bench scorer. So I've all along thought there's a role for Kobe on this team, but I'm not the GM. I'm just a beat writer and observer. So we'll see how it plays out. But to your point, Molly, if they do want to get a big, yes, he's certainly probably their most attractive trade asset in theory. But I personally think that his role here is an important one, particularly if he starts playing at a high level.
KC, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. Take it easy.
You too. Yep.
That is KC Johnson, NBC Sports Chicago.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw every Tuesday.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dave Wannstedt.
Nah, I mean, honestly, how many games have we lost in a row?
Five.
Yeah, there's nothing to talk about. What are we? I mean, you're not going to beat a dead horse. I mean, like I said, we're all men. So, I mean, coming in here and saying we got to figure out a way, I mean, to me is BS. Like, we're not going to keep talking. Like, we got to find ways to win. We got to just get it done. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, like I said, whatever it is. But there's nothing to keep coming in here and talking about and having all these rah-rah speeches. Like, we've had 5 weeks of rah-rah speeches. So, I mean, I don't think that talking is anything that we need to be doing.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's always a joy to talk to Coach Wannstedt, and he joins us now on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, that was an interesting little sound bite there from Jalen Johnson, but it doesn't really surprise me. And, you know, we don't know if the rah-rah talks. I mean, is he referring to Matt Nagy? Is he referring to the defensive coordinator? Is he referring to some of his defensive players or offensive players? You know, so we don't know who, but I think at the end of the day, the bottom line is that, you know, right now they got to win a football game, and there's as much frustration on the team about being able to close out a game and win a game as there is with the fans and I'm sure ownership and everybody else. So I was kind of glad to hear that. I mean, I would have been very disappointed if the guy walked up there and said, you know what, we'll bounce back this week. The attitude's good with the players. Everybody's going to get focused and we're going to go beat Detroit. You know, I mean, how would you feel if he said that? So I liked what he said. It is what it is. I listened to Tom Thayer yesterday and my man Olin Krutz, because I wanted to truly get their spin on it. And Olin and I do some work together, and Tom's as close as anybody. And he's about broken down right now. I mean, I know Tom pretty well, and yeah, I can hear it in his voice and hear his comments. He's just about on his knees, and that's a tough situation. If you get Tom Thayer in that mindset, you're really struggling, and obviously that's where we're at.
But Dave, in what Jalen Johnson is saying, is it in fact indicting Matt Nagy, because Matt Nagy is the coach who talks quite a bit, and when Jalen Johnson is questioning the value of talking through this, you do put two and two together and get four, don't you?
Well, everybody as a head coach is different, okay? And I mean, you guys know my personality. I mean, when we were winning, I was at halftime, I was pissed off. And after the games, I was always – you know what I'm saying? I mean, so you got to be your own self. And I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't want to go out there and say Matt Nagy has just gone in there and just ripped them up and down after the game and just said, you know, this is just total bull. And we should have won that game and, you know, whatever, and on and on and on, up one side and down the other. And I'll see you guys tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and don't be late or whatever. You know, everybody's got to deal with it differently. And it sounded like that's, you know, that it's always positive, positive, positive. So it's tough for me as an ex-coach. I'm not going to be critical of every coach. There's been a lot of coaches fired trying to be Vince Lombardi. So you got to be yourself. And right now, these guys need a wake-up call, and it may be too late. I think that's what Jalen's saying.
Yeah, I found it really interesting to hear him say that. And I think, Dave, that, you know, we're seeing, you know, fire Nagy being chanted at Soldier Field. We're seeing it being chanted at the United Center when the Bulls are playing. And maybe worst of all, and it really is just awful, chanted at his son's high school football game. His son's in the playoffs playing for a high school, and the crowd is saying to fire the coach who's watching the game. That is, you know, I mean, that's so classless, and it's just so disappointing. But when it gets to this point, and Dave, you heard some horrible chants. I mean, it just gets to a point where I don't know how it doesn't affect you. I don't know how it – if I'm Matt Nagy, I would almost be like, hey, why don't you all go to hell? And I can't even think of how I'd react.
Yeah, no, I did not know the Bulls thing, and I did not know the high school game. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's taking it to a level that that I'm not aware of, okay? And my response would be, you know what, and I don't know what's going on. Matt Nagy's as competitor as anybody, but in the back of his mind, it comes to a point where he says, you know, I can't wait till next year to go back to Kansas City and coach the quarterbacks with Andy Reid. I mean, this is we've hit a dead end here. I mean, it almost gets to that point mentally, and it's we're kind of going down that path right now. I mean, it is what it is. We got players hurt. We got some of our key guys out. We know that we can't muster up a win. We don't have confidence. I mean, there's not a whole lot of encouragement going on right now. I thought Justin Fields played okay, but he didn't come out and really light it up last week. Let's be real about that. He played okay. He definitely throws the ball, in my opinion, better when he's – you're not going to want to hear this, but this is the truth. I think the guy throws the ball better when he's on the move and he has one or two receivers and he knows in the back of his mind what he's going to do and who he's throwing to, and I've got to get the ball out. The guy is excellent, excellent. When he's dropping back in the pocket and there's a lot going on, makes me nervous. He makes me nervous, and that's got to handle the truth. That's a little bit of where we're at right there.
Dave, back to the Nagy treatment for a moment. When you hear that kind of stuff that's going on, does it take you back in how difficult it was when you were – you know, at the center, in the eye of the storm, when you were dealing with the public reaction, not necessarily for you. You're a coach, you kind of sign up for that. But for your family, the people who are involved who don't deserve the kind of treatment that they're getting, and obviously more difficult for them to hear the kinds of things that Matt Nagy's family are hearing, that coaches' families hear in times like these.
Yeah, it is. And there's no question about that. And it affects, I mean, the assistant coaches and the equipment managers and the trainers. I mean, everybody's thinking, oh, God, we're going to bring in a new people, because it all starts. The head coach is the bullseye, yes, but it affects the wives and the kids and everybody within that football organization. Because if they make a coaching change and right. If they make a GM change, everybody could be on the street looking for a job. And you're moving kids and you're finding, I mean, all the things. It's a real mess, and it can be traumatic for families. It truly, truly can be. And then on top of it all, I mean, that's the reality of the business we've chosen, okay? So I get that part of it. But on top of it all, to hear this chanting and so forth, boy, it makes it tough. And I never, fortunately, I mean, I never experienced it to that level. But I heard the signs and the airplane go over Fire Wanstead or whatever it was. And we want something else for Christmas or whatever they put up on the sign. So I saw that stuff, but I don't know. It's awful tough. It makes your family come together. I'll tell you that. It makes your kids tougher, and you got to deal with it. It's the profession we're in.
All right, Dave, we're going to take a quick moment here. When we come back, I want to talk to you about some of the football issues that we saw pop up, like a backup quarterback being able to march down the field to win the game, like two football games in a row where you're surrendering a lead at the end of a game. We'll be right back with Coach Wanstead. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.